There were two friends who started business, a butcher shop, and not very long after they started the business, the business is booming. And the evangelist came into the town, and one of them got saved. The guy named Fred got saved. And so the next day he came to the shop, and he was excited about his new life in Christ Jesus. So he explained to him day after day after day until this guy said, Fred asked him, how come you would not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And finally, Charlie opened up his mouth and said, if we both get saved, who's going to weigh the meat? Good relationship with Jesus Christ, good relationship with God, start with the repentance and making things right. The two kinds of repentance in humankind, or two kinds of sorrows, I guess, if I may say correctly. One is the sorrow of the world, and the other one is sorrow of the God, godly way. First one, sorrow of the world, is kinds of feeble things. It's a feeling. It's nothing more than emotional things, that sorry that they get caught, and fear of the getting caught, and the unpleasant consequences that follow. Because of guilt-ridden feeling, they have a bad feeling about it. That's nothing more than just remorse for feeling. It's a temporary reformation. It never lasts long, because pretty soon they will shrug off and goes on to go back to the business as usual. However, godly sorrow is a different story. It's led by it's convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because whatever we do against God is offending God, we get to know it, and we repent from it and turn away from it. This is a genuine repentance, and it brings a true joy into our heart and the people around us. There's a radical distinction between natural remorse and the true godly repentance. We find throughout the Bible 10 men saying, I have sinned. Five out of 10 truly repent and turn away from it. Some of you guys already have at least a couple people in mind. King David, he said, after the adultery with Bathsheba, he said, I have sinned. Nehemiah, he, including himself and with the Israeli people, we have sinned, including himself. And Job, after he blobbed his mouth around against the so-called counselors, and I wouldn't call them friend, and then when God confronted him, he said, I have sinned. I closed my mouth. And of course, there's another guy named Micah. And then the last one, but now the least one, we don't know his name. He's known as a prodigal son. So five of them had the true repentance. Five of them did not. I'm going to ask you to guess who did the five of them is. That's your homework. A couple weeks ago, I gave you homework. I asked you, come up with your own answer, not spiritual answer or whatever. If God give you a blank check, remember that question I asked you? If God give you a blank check to write whatever you want, what would you write? Whatever you write, you get it. What would you write? Any of you remember that? Nobody remembers that. Good. Any of you guys remember any of the teaching I've been teaching? I hope so. Okay, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to think about it. If God give you the blank check, whatever you write is yours, what would that be? Simple sentence. One sentence. It can be done. Whatever you want, God will give it to you. If that's the case, blank check. It's not a trick question. One thing, Just one thing. It doesn't matter what it, whatever. One thing. It can be, if you want $4 trillion, that God will give you $4 trillion. Let's say, just think with me, okay? Play with me. You thought about it? Okay. Would you give me your answer? Nobody laugh, okay? This is serious. Who would give me an answer, first answer? Yes? Building. That's good. I can take one. What else? Peace. Okay. What else? Yes. Salvation for all. That's good. Yes. Okay. Jenny? Good. They're all good answers. How about this? Being like Jesus. We just sang the song. I want to be like Jesus. If I become like Jesus, if you become like Jesus, that means we will do exactly what the Father wants. I don't think we can top that. I don't want a building unless God wants it. I don't want to ask for it. Let's say somehow somebody gave us $40 million. Yeah, thank you. If that's not what the Lord wants, we're going to be miserable in that building. Relationship with other people, if that's not what the Lord wants, we're going to be miserable. But if we ask Him to make us be like Jesus, He will. What is the definition of Christ-like? And what is the definition of a Christian? Christ-like, right? That's what we're supposed to be. Yeah.
That is the end result of our salvation.
Exactly. It's our wish is already been granted. Yes. It's a blank check means you can get anything you want. It was not. Okay, back to the repentance. Flesh can feel the remorse, acknowledge evil deed, and can be ashamed of itself. As I said before, that's a temporary reformation. However, truly being repented, that means that we have to turn away from whatever we've done. Verse 1, chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we seek your face. We want to be like Jesus as we sang, as we talked about. That is our ultimate desire, to know you, to be more like Son. You are not asking us for us to do something special. It's a reasonable service. Not conforming to the world, but transforming into your will by renewing our heart. Teach us our hearts open, our minds open, to be written by you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting the holiness in the fear of God. This is such a good verse. If you can, memorize it, please. Perfecting the holiness out of reverence of God. I'm quoting the New International Version. That's how I memorize it, so I'm quoting it that way. Because we fear God, because we love God, keep your finger right there, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, please. Proverbs chapter 8. This is another good memory verse. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. And then hate what else? Pride and arrogance and evil ways and perverse mouths I hate. Another portion of the Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is what? Beginning of the wisdom. Yeah. So there's two things. Beginning of wisdom and to hate evil and pride and arrogance and all that stuff. If we start to hate those things the way God hates, if we hate the sins the way God hates, that is the wisdom. That is the way to follow God. Paul is writing about the cleansing. This, by the way, this verse should be end of the chapter 6, not first portion of chapter 7, because he's been talking about all these things that being holy in chapter 6. About the cleansing, and that's something God do to us when we come to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And when we sin against God, and he cleanses us with what? Blood of Jesus Christ, correct? 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess with our mouths and about our sin, what does he say? He said he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is cleansing. How that's done by him. It's not something we can do. However, there's something we can do. What is it? Cleanse ourselves. With what? There's something we have to use. It's not anything we can come up with. It's something he provides. This is not something we can do once in a blue moon. A lot of people do that. They use this detergent to do cleanse themselves or when the situation is real bad. They are in tight corner. It's a daily cleansing. If we don't cleanse ourselves with this detergent, it will bring the real bad stench in the God's nostril. What would that be, that the detergent? The Word of God. The Word of God. Why do I say it's the Word of God? I will explain that thing to you a little later. Fifth chapter of 2 Kings. Some of you guys already know whom I'm going to talk about. Nahum. He's a Syrian general. 2 Kings chapter 5. Nahum, he's a Syrian general. He was a valiant man, and he was a great general. Problem is that he had a leprosy. Now, in the Old Testament, the leprosy is known as a sin. It represents sin. Because at the beginning, it's seemingly very unharmed, no big problem. However, it spreads like a wildfire within the nerve system. Prison people cannot feel their nerve, their touch, and they hurt themselves without realizing. This man found out that there is a prophet, a healer in Israel through his Jewish servant Gaul. So he sent an email to the Jewish Israel king, can I come visit this guy? Of course, he said, yeah, come by. So he hopped on his chariot, in a Mercedes-Benz chariot, and he traveled down there and went to this prophet known as Elisha. Elisha at his gate knocked on the door, and Elisha didn't even bother to come out. This pompous parade came into his door, but he didn't even come out. He sent a servant. And he said, before he even say anything, the servant said, well, just go dip yourself in the Jordan River for 7 times. Come on, this is the general. He's a supreme general of the country and who happened to be the occupant of the Israeli. He's their commanding Israel kingdom. He was attacked. He said, okay, that's it. I'm packing up. The river in the Damascus is cleaner than this Jordan River. By the way, Jordan River, some of you guys are going to go to the Israel with me in November. Jordan, just be aware that it's a kind of muddy water. It's not sparkly clean water, but it's the idea of the Jesus was baptized there, so a lot of people get baptized there too. So he said, well, I'm not going to do what he says, I'm going to go. However, his servants remind him, my father, if the man of God said, go up to the mountain, you would do it. What's the big problem for you to dip yourself in the Jordan River for 7 times? So this Nahum, Syrian king, general, swallowed his pride and went into the Jordan River. Can you imagine? Undressed himself. All this time he's been going through this leprosy, so he covered himself well. Now in front of all of his soldiers and the servant, he undressed himself, stark naked, went into the water. First time, all the way in and out. Nothing happened. Gone on. And 6 times, nothing happened. By faith, he went down one more time. He came up. His skin was smoother than baby. And the lady's thinking, oh, yeah, where is the Jordan River? I don't think that's going to work with other people. This case only. What happened? He dipped himself in the water by faith. He was told what to do, so he simply did. Correct? According to Word of God, John chapter 15, Jesus said people should be cleansed by the word water, which is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, again, the Word of God is the living water. Psalm 119, how the young man can stay pure? By cleansing himself with the Word. Word of God is a living water. That is the only detergent we can use to ourselves is the daily cleansing. I said this word, daily cleansing, for many times already. There's a fancy spiritual term for that one. What would that be? Sanctification. Sanctification is not a one-time deal, folks. It's a sanctification, being sanctified every day. Set apart ourselves from the other worldly things and cleanse ourselves with this Word of God. That is sanctification. Okay, verse 2. One, open your heart to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Apostle Paul is going back to where he left off in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to the children. You also be open. Paul has been completely honest with the Corinthian people all this time. However, these people are not toward him. And see, these Corinthian people rather believe the bad things about the Apostle Paul more than believing good things about him. It is not an information problem. It's not a miscommunication. Because they are yoked with the worldly thing, that which we find in verse 14 of chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked together. With unbelievers. In other words, stay away from worldly things. Again, I'm going back to the Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the what? The world, but be transformed into the Lord by renewing our mind. How do we do that? Then I go back to what we just talked about. Being sanctified through the word, be cleansed by the Word of God. confronting Corinthian people was not easy. That's another reason why these people were ticked. They feel that they were condemned by this Apostle Paul. Can we confront somebody without condemnation? Yes, we can. As a matter of fact, when we confront somebody else and our brothers and sisters, we need to do it without condemnation. Keep your finger right there, and let's go to Galatians, next book, chapter 6, verse 1, please. Galatians 6, 1. When you go through the situation with somebody who is in sin, let this word remind you what you're supposed to do. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in spirit of gentleness. What does it say? Spirit of gentleness. In other words, it's in love. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. If we think we can handle everything, again, that reminds me of the verse, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him who thinks stand, take heed lest he fall. Right? Let's continue in verse 5. For indeed, when we come to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we are troubled on every side. Outside the world conflict, inside the world fears. Underline fears, please. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. See, this guy, the Apostle Paul, he will find joy in just about everything. When somebody crushed him, and he said, well, I'm being crushed by Jesus for the Jesus Christ. He's the kind of guy who will always say, cup is half full, instead of cup is half empty. You know, that is a great attitude. Instead of looking for something to complain about, folks, let's admit it. If we choose to complain about something, we can always find something to complain about. But if we choose to find some blessing in our lives, it's hard, but it makes tremendous effort. We can make a tremendous effort, and we can find the blessing, and we can praise God for it. Many people, including myself, would love to avoid the pain. Any of you guys who would love to have a pain? I don't. I'm a major wuss. I don't want pain. If I can avoid the pain, I will avoid the pain at just about any cost. Sometimes God brings the pain into our lives. Why? I don't know, number one. Number two, if I can guess, God is allowing that pain to come through so that he may make us be more like who? Jesus. Why he used that kind of method? Why doesn't he just like make us be more all super spiritual Christian? Obviously, he doesn't think the way I think. And he doesn't think the way you think. He wants to bless us with a close relationship, dependency on him. Chapter 6, we study about some trouble Paul facing outside the trouble. He went through a beating, imprisonment, a tumult, labor, sleeplessness, and hunger. If that's not bad enough, he has something inside in him. I should underline the word fears. Remember the fears? In Greek word, that's a phobos. P-H-O-B-O-S, phobos. Guess what kind of word we get out of that? Phobia. What is a phobia? A phobia is a decreasing from status of the decreasing from the courage. Some people have this phobia in front of public addressing. Some people stand in behind the microphone, they start to panic. And John Gecki, he said, told me once, I was gone and Jack was gone too, so I told him, you're going to do the announcement. So he practiced all day, every day, for a week, and stood behind the pulpit and he said, good morning, and everybody said, good morning, and 70 sets of eyes and looked at him and he froze. Any of you guys remember that time? He couldn't carry it anymore, and after I came in, he asked me, You make it look so easy. So I don't know how I do it, but I just do it. That's one must be from gifted from God. Same time, some people have the gift of different kind of things, and some people just frozen with the other things. And we struggle. When we struggle for that fear, and then prison depression sets in. Don't think that Christians should not have a depression. God can use a depression. Christians can have a depression. It's our choice to stay in that depression, or it's our choice to get out of from that depression. However, I can give you one good answer that is not should be an answer. Prozac. I'm not saying that if you have a chemical imbalance, listen carefully, please. If you have a chemical imbalance, you have to use it, use it. However, that is not the first answer. The first answer should be dependency on God. If there is a chemical imbalance, the doctor says you got to use this, some sort of, you know, psychological medicine, use it. Nothing wrong with it. But don't grab that Prozac but the first thing, as the first thing in the morning. Seek God's hand. Seek God's will. Look for the answer for the situation. I said this before, I'm going side note. Worry, listen carefully, please. Worry, most of the time, people worry about something that doesn't happen. Most of the time. Worry is like a rocking chair. I'm sure you heard this illustration. It gives you something to do, but you are not going anywhere. Okay? Jesus said very clearly, do not worry about for tomorrow. You have plenty of things to be concerned about today. Worry is about future. Any of you guys worry about the past? Anything you worry is about future, correct? What if, what if, what if? Soon as you said what if, the faith goes out the window. Faith and the what if cannot survive together in the same room. One comes in, one goes out. One comes in, the other one goes out. Okay? They cannot coexist. So if you start to worry, that means you are not trusting God. That means you are not following God. There's a difference between depression and worry. You go through depression, you start to trust God, then you come out of it. But worry, you can choose to stay and dwell on it. What is the main ingredient that the 2 million people wander around 40 years in the wilderness didn't get to go into promised land? One word. Worry. They worry about what if those giant people, who's bigger, those people in the Canaan land or mighty God, who stopped the water, pushed the water, and so the 5 miles wide channel happened in the Red Sea, and so they could cross. Who's bigger? Same thing. We worry so much about what ifs that may not even come, that we forget about our gigantic God who can hold the entire universe in the palm of his hand. Depression can happen to people, just like it happened to the Apostle Paul. Fear sets in. However, he finds the joy being repentant and looking for the hands of God, looking for the face of God, and fear, the joy comes into his heart. See, not everybody can have, you know, sunny day every day. There's a day that down, just simply down and out. You can choose to stay that way before the end of the day. You can choose to stay that way, okay, or you can read the word, make the things right with God. It's your choice. Have you noticed it? When you go on vacation, you leave the work behind, right? When you come back from the vacation, guess what is waiting for you? Same work, all piled up more, right? So why you worry about the how am I going to handle before you go on vacation? Do you really worry about while you're on vacation, what am I going to do with the work when I go back to work? You just take care of it, do your vacation, you have enjoy your time, right? Same attitude. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Is God big enough to take care of your future, my future? Yes, He can. What was Titus's good news? To Apostle Paul's surprise. Now, in this book, Apostle Paul is very candid, honest. He's telling people, yeah, I worried about you guys. I was concerned about you guys. But I'm finding out, you guys good. You guys doing well. They were genuinely concerned about Apostle Paul. Let's go on to the verse 8. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. For I perceive that the simple epistle, same epistle that made you sorry, though only a while. Now I rejoice, not that you are made sorry, but your sorrow led to repentance. For you are made sorry in godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Next verse, I'm going to ask you to underline and memorize it, please. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to the salvation, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that your sorrow, the ungodly manner, what diligence it produces in you, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you prove yourself to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Four out of seven Asia Minor churches mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are told to repent. Remember the book of Revelation study we did? Four out of seven were told to repent. What is the definition of the repent? Can you give me the definition? Repent. Good? Very good. Exact definition is to change one's mind. Not just stay in the place and just feel sorry, but turn away from changing one's mind. And disobedient people, disobedient Christians, need to repent. And not in order to be saved, but to make their relationship, their fellowship with God right. Repentance, as I said before, is to change one's mind and to turn to God, not being sorry for the what they've been caught. Paul is referring this letter that made them sorry is that one of those one of the letters that missing between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, known as a severe letter or known as a sorrowful letter. He was dealing from what we just read in 1 Corinthians and the 2 Corinthians, and we finding out that he was dealing with them about the sexual conduct. And I guess he was very severe to them. And they took it, and they repented, and they handled it. And Timothy brought the report, and they corrected the matter. Difference between sorrow inflicted by God and sorrow inflicted by the world is a day and night difference. As a matter of fact, a heaven and hell difference. Because sorrow from the world produced death, as we just read. It's pointless. But the sorrow inflicted by God bring the repentance, and that repentance brings salvation, and That doesn't mean the salvation of man, person who come to know Jesus Christ, salvation from setting free from the fear or the sin into joy. So repentance brings from sin to joy eventually. You follow me? Sorrow, once accomplishing, sorrow alone accomplished nothing. Peter was Peter was sorry that he denied Jesus Christ. Guess what happened? He repented and he followed God. Judas was sorry that he betrayed Jesus. Guess what he did? He killed himself. Just because somebody is sorrowful, just because somebody is sorry, that doesn't mean anything. If, as I said before, sorrow was inflicted by God, it will bring a good result. But sorrow was inflicted by the worldly system, it will bring death. Do you understand? Repentance sounds like a harsh word to many people. It is an essential aspect of the gospel. As a matter of fact, it's the first word of the gospel. What am I talking about? John the Baptist. We find him. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And Jesus, when he started ministry, first word, what did he say? "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And in Acts chapter 4, I believe, Peter, at the day of Pentecost, he told people what? Repent. Without repentance, we cannot make our relationship with God right. Let's make a simple example. If you're an alcoholic or drug addict or gambling person or pornography person, there's an alcoholic anonymous that can go in and you introduce yourself. "Hi, I'm Jun Ho Kim. I'm an what? Alcoholic." They have to admit it. When we come to Christ, to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, what is the foremost important thing? I am a sinner. Unless I admit myself that I'm a sinner and I want to turn away from this, then nothing will come along. If we don't do that, nothing will happen. As I said before, repentance brings joy. So it is bittersweet. Why is it bitter? Because we have to admit that we are wrong again. But it's sweet because it brings life. It brings joy in our heart. And our relationship, our fellowship with Jesus Christ will be restored. When repentance is marked by the preceding characteristic, we are clear of guilt, of sin. Stain of sin is gone. We can feel it and other people can see it. Let's continue verse 13. "Therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because of his spirit has been refreshed by y'all. For if in anything I have boasted in him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true, and his affection are greater for you as he remembered the obedience of you all. How with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything." Experience of Titus in Corinth was a great evidence for these people that truly repented. Was Paul being sarcastic? No, I don't believe so. He's trying to encourage these people to stay at it. He's trying to encourage these people to stay at it. You know, as a pastor, as a fellow Christian, to say, "I have sinned. Now I'm asking God's forgiveness." That's a great turning point. As I said before, we turn point. As I said before, we do that. Unless the people do that, they cannot really come make that relationship right with God. pastor talks to me, pastor's coming. That the pastor's coming. That the pastor's coming. That the pastor's coming. That the pastor's coming. With us at the pastor's coming. With us at the pastor's coming. Pastor's coming. So there was the one pastor who backslid and he committed adultery. And of course he left the position as a senior pastor. And being a gracious brother that he is, Pastor Chuck gave him a job. Because doctor can commit adultery and continue to do surgery without any trouble. Lawyer can do all the bad things as long as he doesn't do any criminal things, he can continue to practice. Pastor, he does something wrong, guess what happened? He's out the door, he cannot get the job. It's not really my fault, it's my wife's fault, you know, blah, 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 blah. Pastor just didn't see him for a long time. And finally he said, it is her fault. And the tears stained on the letter. And Pastor Chuck picked up the phone and called him. Now it's time to talk. Now it's time to restore. I don't believe it. I didn't see him. It is her fault. And the tears stained on the letter. And the tears stained on the letter. And the tears stained on the letter. And Pastor Chuck picked up the phone and called him. Now it's time to talk. Now it's time to restore. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But husband can't have a real husband, same way. Husband, same way. Husband, same way. Husband, same way. Constant, same way. It is constant, same way. Constant, same way. It's constant, same way. Constant, same way. It is same way. Constant, same way. It is. Same way. It is. And what you give to your ladies is the attitude you should give to your ladies. The attitude you should give to your ladies is the attitude you should give to your ladies is and what you should give to your ladies is the attitude you should give to your ladies is your ladies is. The happy we should get to your ladies is tenet. So we spoke all things to you in truth. Even so, our boasting to Titus was found true. Application number one. Inflicted by God, it will bring a good result. But sorrow was inflicted by the worldly system, it will bring death. Do you understand? Repentance sounds like a harsh word to many people. It is an essential aspect of the gospel. As a matter of fact, it's the first word of the gospel. What am I talking about? John the Baptist. We find him. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus, when he started ministry, first word, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In Acts chapter 4, I believe, Peter, at the day of Pentecost, he told people, what? Repent. Without repentance, it's dangerous. Blah, 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 blah. Pastor just didn't see him. Pastor, the job. This guy has been a pastor for a long time, and now he doesn't have a job. So Pastor Chuck gave him a job to transcribe his Pastor Chuck's teaching in writing. To transcribe his Pastor Chuck's teaching in writing. In writing. Chuck's teaching. So Pastor Chuck gave him a job to transcribe his passage of speaking in writing. One of the letter that missing between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, known as a severe letter or known as a sorrowful letter. He was dealing from the, what we just read in 1 Corinthians and the 2 Corinthians, and we finding out that he was dealing with them about the sexual conduct. And